minutes to so maybe you can
Okay.
have 3 or 2 minutes more than the schedule. Okay.
All right.
So I can see your share screen setup. Okay. Now let's welcome the second speaker, Andrew Mazzoni. So he'll talk about long-time prediction of nonlinear parameterized dynamic systems by deep learning-based reduced order method. Okay, the floor is yours.
Yeah, thanks a lot for the kind introduction. Of course, it's a pity to be in Cambridge only virtually this week. Anyway, this is the time we are living. So good afternoon from Milano, actually. Thanks to the organizers for giving us the opportunity of presenting our work and for this extremely interesting week of workshop and for the organization of the whole semester period. So this is a joint work with Stefania Fresca, who gave a talk on Monday afternoon, and Federico Fattone and myself from MOX, Department of Mathematics at the Politecnico of Milano. So the summary is in this slide. Essentially, I'm going to show you some applications of deep learning methods aiming at enhancing reduced order models for parameterized partial differential equations. I will start from deep learning reduced order models, DLROMs, and then we will enhance these techniques by using a proper orthogonal decomposition, POD. And then in the second part of my talk, I will focus on possible ways to enhance even more those ROMs for the sake of time extrapolation. We want to solve problems depending on parameters, also say forward in time with respect to the training window on which we have observed data. Here you find some applications we are currently dealing with. This is a 2 years story. We started from cardiac electrophysiology, then we moved to structural mechanics, and we took also into account fluid flows and say in the last few months also microelectromechanical system from the micro to the macro. Now there are plenty of approaches regarding both physics-based and data-driven reduced order modeling. I've tried to sketch some of them, at least in this slide. So starting from reduced basis methods, relying on Galerkin projections, so projection-based reduced order modeling, where very often we are constrained to rely on low dimensional approximation spaces that are linear subspaces. Our challenge has been to move towards nonlinear reduced order models, and in particular, designing suitable nonlinear reduced order models dealing with deep learning. In the first case of projection-based reduced order models, you usually solve a nonlinear reduced problem in the reduced coordinates to get the reduced order solution. You can also do something less intrusive by interpolating or exploiting neural networks or Gaussian processes to get the reduced coordinates, or evaluate, as I'm going to show in a while, evaluate the reduced dynamics exploiting neural networks too. And then moving on the right of the slide, so towards more data-driven techniques, there are also physics and for neural networks and emulators or surrogate models that exploit, for instance, neural networks. So several approaches in these last few years regarding those kind of techniques. Now, just in a slide, reduced order models are powerful tools aiming at, compressing high dimensional problems arising from the discretization of partial differential equations. I am dealing with nonlinear time-dependent partial differential equations, relying on the finite elements method. For instance, you easily get problems of very large dimension. In the case you want to solve this problem many, many times for different parameter values, and parameters can be related either to physics, to geometry, or to data, well, computational costs very soon becoming not affordable. And this is, the reason why we turn to reduced order models. In particular, we build a low-dimensional subspace exploiting a set of solutions that we call snapshots from the high-fidelity problem. them. And then we express, in the case of linear reduced order models, the reduced solution as a linear combination of, say, basis functions collected into a matrix times, say, a number of reduced coordinates. And then we rely on Galerkin projection to get a reduced order model that looks very similar to the original problem, but now has a much, much smaller dimension. This approach has been used many times in the last two decades, I would say, and even more on a very high number of contexts and applications. However, in some cases, POD Galerkin reduced order models, or projection-based reduced order models, are not well suited to some problems. And we realized this while dealing with cardiac electrophysiology, so nonlinear reaction diffusion problems that feature coherent structures that propagate over time. So here you see what happens also using a projection-based reduced order model of much, much large dimension, almost 900 basis function. Say forward in time. So the reduced dimension can be potentially not small as desired. Hyper reduction, another big chapter in this field, can become very easily costly and intrusive. And then the reduced order model built using projection based approaches must account for all the variables involved in the full order model. Last but not least, projection based ROMs often, when dealing with parameter problems, hardly allow for time extrapolation. All this said, we decided to exploit deep learning, and in particular, we designed, say, a new way to deal with non-intrusive reduced order models to solve parameterized problems, enhancing essentially efficiency. We want to use deep learning by starting from a set of full order model solutions, and we want to learn both the nonlinear trial manifold, so no longer a subspace, a linear subspace, but a nonlinear trial manifold in which we're going to seek the solution to the parameterized system, and also the nonlinear reduced dynamics. The first idea is the one of deep learning-based ROMs, DL ROMs, in which both the reduced solution manifold and the reduced dynamics are learned by relying on convolutional autoencoders in blue and a feed-forward neural network. So essentially, we compress the information that comes from a set of snapshots. So UH is the full-order solution computed by finite elements, say. We compress this information up to a very small dimension, and we are going to see in a while that there are also some criteria to fix this dimension. And then after we encode and decode the information collected from snapshots, we also need to build a map that from time and parameters allows us to estimate the reduced order coordinates, the reduced order degrees of freedom. So by putting together two contributions in a loss function, so a sort of coherence loss, because we want, say, the encoded version of the data and the output of this network to be as close as possible, but also the reconstruction error, we train this loss, and then we get a possible way to express now a map that from time and parameters go to the solution by putting together, essentially during the testing stage, the feedforward neural network and the decoder. Here are some results related with a two-dimensional problem in cardiac electrophysiology. So you have these fronts that move, that propagate over time. Depending on parameters, the shape of this front and also the speed can be different. And here we are compared what happens with a deep learning reduced order model compared to a full order model, but also to POD Galerkin ROMs, also exploiting local reduced basis spaces. And we get a solution that is as accurate as the one provided by the full order model in less than a second compared to 200 seconds with a full order model, and say 14 seconds or 8 seconds, depending on the number of local reduced basis spaces with a POD Galerkin ROM. Note that the reduced dimension, so the dimension of the latent variables now is three, that is very, very close to the number of parameters. Here we have two parameters and then three as dimension in the reduced, say, at the most reduced level, compared to, say, almost 100 basis functions required by POD Galerkin. working ROM. So the question is how to choose the reduce the latent dimension in the case of a deep learning based ROM. So we got some results thanks to Nicola Rares-Frank and to Paolo Zunino. We submitted a paper recently showing that at least in the case in which we can say provide some assumptions in the parameter to solution map, we can bound from below and from above the dimension of the number of the latent variables involving say the concept of manifold width somehow in close connection with the so-called Kolmogorov and width in the case of linear subspaces, and even more if the parameter space is compact and we are dealing with second order elliptic PDEs, so say a simpler case than what I showed before, provided say this parameter to solution map is say at least Lipschitz, we can bound the dimension of the most internal layer of this autoencoder by two times the number of parameters, or if the solution map is injective also we can say that this is exactly the number of parameters. So we can indeed look for autoencoders that are strictly related to the intrinsic dimension of the problem, that is indeed the number of parameters. Now, moving to POD DLROMs. DLROM can have very small reduced dimensions. We have just seen why. We can query a deep learning based ROM at any desired time without solving the dynamical system until that time, and we can also avoid expensive hyperreductions. But since so far here the dimension of the high fidelity data is still involved, DLROMs in these formulations might still entail severe costs during the training stage. The testing stage, they're extremely fast. But since here high dimensional data are still involved, training cost can be quite large. And this is the reason why we decided to perform a prior dimensionality reduction by exploiting proper orthogonal decomposition, so that the DLROM structure as before is applied to the projection of the original data onto a linear subspace whose dimension can be also quite large, but of course smaller than the original dimension of the data. So in this case, POD DLROM no longer depends on the dimension of the full order model data. And in this way, we can also avoid long training times. And then the machinery regarding, say, the training of these networks and then the map from the time and parameters to this reduced coding of the solution and then the decoding to get back the solution is essentially as before. So we just include another layer of reduction. And here are some results related with Navier-Stokes equations. Here, the parameter is the Reynolds number. In 15 minutes of training, we are able to solve for new Reynolds number problems in less than a second. And also, we are able to get even faster than real-time solutions regarding complex problems such as the fluid in a cerebral aneurysm geometry. So in this case, the speed up with respect to the full order model is of order 10 to the power 5. So far, the time window in which we are going to query the reduced order model at testing stage is the same as we consider for the sake of training. So we are still not considering the task of extrapolating forward in time with respect to the time span over which we have collected the data. Now we have tried to add LSTM long short term memory cells to POD DLROMs, because essentially POD DLROMs still treat time as an additional parameter, so that they neglect the temporal evolution of the problem, and we decided to to embed recurrence mechanisms as LSTMs to say enrich the architecture with recurrence and to learn time evolution when inputs as the solution over time are sequential, also aiming at say increasing speed performances at prediction time, and hoping for say the possibility to extrapolate forward in time. So this is the way a POD LSTM ROM looks like. The structure is essentially as before, and note that now these say reduced dynamics just get as input the initial time. So here we already have embedded into this structure the time recurrent mechanism. So we have an LSTM encoder and an LSTM decoder that are fed by, say, sequences of the solution for different parameter values, but computing over, say, a bunch of time steps. And in this way, this structure allows us to, say, to identify also the time recurrence mechanism. Still, this is not sufficient. We realize this is not sufficient because if we try to solve the problem at the same time, say, for new parameter values that haven't been seen during the training, and also forward in time, we need some additional ingredient. Now, I don't have time to go into detail, but here you see that the steps to build this POD LSTM ROM are essentially as before. We train a cost functions that has two terms. So once again, a reconstruction error and then a sort of coherence loss between this very internal layer. The question is how to deal with time extrapolation. So are we able to, say, test our network over a time set, a time interval that is, say, longer than the one over which we have collected the data? POD LSTM ROM cannot achieve this goal. Time extrapolation, by the way, can also increase even more the efficiency of the method. So it is a burden indeed. So the problem we're going to face is a sequence-to-sequence learning. So we want to forecast a certain number of steps ahead in a time series by setting a predictor that takes as input p time steps in the past and then returns as output the forecast k steps ahead in the future. So the architecture that we have introduced is a tiny variation of this LSTM ROM as before, LSTM for time series ROM, LSTM TS for this reason. So we make advantage of this LSTM architecture, but we somehow pass to this network, bunches of solutions for a single parameter value now to get, say, the prediction in the future. And the main difference with respect to the previous case is that if we turn from the training to the testing time, well, from the testing time, also the encoder is still, say, used because we need to exploit this approach where in the case in which we want to predict over time the essentially the POD coefficients of the solution. So we want to advance in time as solutions that will be in the spirit of this PODDL-ROM framework will be given by a set of coordinates for a certain number of time steps. So we want to advance them over time. So the final architecture that I'm going to introduce is the coupling between the first idea of POD LSTM ROM and this new LSTM for time series ROM, because there are two essentially two tasks. We want to predict the solution for unseen parameters, and then we want to take that prediction and extend it forward in time. And in particular, as soon as a new parameter instance come, well, we want to predict the behavior of the solution, assume that this parameter value was not, say, was not seen during the training. So we don't have, say, training data for that parameter value. We want to predict till the time at which we have collected the data, the solution, as we did, and LSTM can be a good option. And then we want to, say, learn how to advance forward in time that solution indeed to extrapolate. This is the idea. Of course, there are many details, say, behind the scene, but I don't have time to go into too many details. So some results regarding first the performance of this POD LSTM ROM. So on the same testing window as the training time window, we try to solve an advection diffusion reaction problem. We have here an advection field that depends on time. So the solution will rotate, and parameters are related with the location of the source over over the domain, and then the diffusion property. The space over which we project everything is made by 64 POD modes. At the end, the latent dimension is equal to 3. And here are the results. So far so good for what concerns, say, the computation of the solutions for new parameter values in the same time span as we collected the data. The relative error is slightly in favor of PODDL-ROM. So LSTM is not essential in the case we want to solve the problem for a fixed time range, even if the errors are, say, of the same order of magnitude. LSTM runs allow for faster prediction times compared to, the autoencoder that did not include before this LSTM architecture. What happens now in the case of this paired POD LSTM ROM? So what happens in the case in which we want to consider as testing time window 40 more time steps regarding, say, compared to the training stage, or even larger, say, time horizons, here more than 900 time steps forward in time. Well, errors are, say, still under control. Here you see, say, the end of the training stage, and the prediction in times correctly captures, say, the dynamic of the solution on short time prediction. Everything is fine. Errors are very small. For very long time prediction, errors are kept under control. The frequency is correctly captured, even if we are still a bit to work on this, because we have a order of 10% errors in the amplitude of the peaks. Nevertheless, the frequency is correctly captured. What happens then in non-periodic systems? We have considered a lot of Volterra systems, so a three-dimensional ODE system, so no need of performing POD, because here the system is already low-dimensional. The latent dimension is equal to 1, because indeed there's a single parameter involved, so we have an aperiodic but asymptotically stable for any parameter value Lotka-Volterra system, three spaces, so three equations are coupled together, and here are, errors that also, say, for time prediction forward in time are somehow, say, under control. So order of 10 minus 3 errors. And here you can see that the three spaces, say, after, say, the end of the training period, that was time equal to 10. So from 10 to 15, we predict the solution for new parameter values say, compared to the ones we saw before. And this is what happens for very long time windows on new parameter instances. The dynamic is correctly captured. The asymptotic regime is correctly inferred. And there are new preliminary results obtained a couple of days ago regarding the prediction forward in time for the two-dimensional Navier-Stokes problem as before. Here we stop training at time t equal to 6, and then we try to see what happens from 6 to 7, at least for different Reynolds number, both in the case there are no, say, strong vorticity patterns appearing across past the cylinder, or in the cases in which vortex shedding starts to appear. So also in this case, so error at least for 1 second more compared to the 6 seconds training window is under control. So in the if I have two more minutes, some final results are related with nonlinear elastic dynamics equations, and in particular, microelectromechanical systems. So second order nonlinear elastic dynamics with quadratic and cubic terms here. These objects are micro mirrors or gyroscopes. This is the smartphone you have, and each smartphone we have is filled by micro components like those. So my micro electromechanical systems are almost everywhere, I would say. And here you have, say, effects as rotations, but that also involve nonlinearities And then the need of simulating the transient state with very small time step for very long, say, time intervals. We can also have, say, solution branches that cannot be computed because they are not stable. So a very high dimensional problem because of both, say, the spatial scale at the mesh level, but also for the sake of the time discretization. Here are some results obtained with this PODDL ROM. These are frequency response surface as function of, say, two parameters that are the amplitude and the frequency of the activation that takes place onto these piezoelectric patches on the mirror. So we need to zoom a lot, say, to find, say, very, very tiny discrepancies between the full order model and the POD DL ROM solution. The point is that computing those curves takes a lot of evaluation of very long transients for many, many different parameter values. And just to give you an idea, computing, say, this sort of, surface, this is the maximum, say, rotation of the macro mirror as a function of two parameters, the amplitude and the frequency of the activation, would take something like more than a year if relying on a full order model, 7 hours if relying on a POD Galerkin ROM. So classical linear reduced order models already provide a significant boost in terms of computational times, but about 2 minutes if we rely on POD DL ROMs. So almost real-time approximation has become possible also in those cases. And regarding, say, the extension over time, so time extrapolation, once again, using the proposed strategy by coupling those two LSTM architectures, we are able to correctly predict, say, the behavior of the solution forward in time, once again getting, say, a significant speed up with respect to a full order model and having errors that are absolutely under control. So this concludes my talk. So I thank you very much for your attention. Here are some references, and of course, I'm glad to answer your questions.
Thanks, Andy. Very informative talk. So is there any questions from lecture hall or on Zoom? I cannot see any questions so far. Okay. So maybe I have a quick question. And so comparing the conventional POD ROM scheme and POD deep learning ROM scheme, so they are using the same information encoding as POD at first step, right? So I'm wondering in this case, in which aspect do you like deep learning helps to
So deep learning can help in at several levels. So first of all, of course, in making the reduced order model non-intrusive at all. So all the, say, calculations that are usually entailed by a POD Galerkin ROM are avoided here. So no need of dealing with matrices, vectors, hyper reduction in case of nonlinear operators or, say, weird parameter dependencies, say. So this is a big, say, advantage. On the other hand, maybe it's worth it to stress it a bit more because dealing with large linear subspaces as in POD Galerkin ROMs can be, of course, a strong bottleneck. We realize this while dealing with, say, the first nonlinear reaction diffusion problem. So in cardiac electrophysiology, if you get a POD Galerkin reduced order model, so a classical one, where the POD space is made by, say, hundreds of basis function, while the computational speed up with respect to a full order model might be, say, little, I would say. On the other hand, these POD DL ROMs, they also exploit, say, the projection onto a linear subspace, but the large dimension of that subspace is no longer an issue. Because after that, in any case, there's an encoder that allows you to go really close to the intrinsic dimension of the problem, that is, roughly speaking, very close to the number of parameters you have. So no matter if your POD space is made by 200 or 300 basis functions, in any case, an autoencoder allows you to perform a very strong reduction. And this is a second, I would say, big deal compared to POD Galerkin ROMs.
Okay, thank you very much. See Mario, I have a question. So can you unmute yourself?
Yeah, hi Andrea. Hi, very nice talk, nice to see you.
Me too.
I have a question in the same direction. So for the POD DL ROM, you do not get rid of the Kolmogorov with slow decay in case of problems with discontinuities or shocks. The only advantage that I see is that you can allow quite large reduced spaces there. And then do the compression inside, is what I see. But when you show the timings, do you also include then the reconstruction where you need to,
As soon as you have computed, say, the coordinates in that POD space, then for the sake of, say, visualizing the solutions, getting, say, any useful information on it, you need still to, say, perform the matrix vector multiplications to get the solution at any time step. That's clear. Another big advantage is
Was this included in the CPU timing that you showed?
Yeah, it was. It was. The point is that another thing, maybe I can stress it a bit more, is that if you are interested to solve, say, problems onto a very long time interval, you don't need to compute, say, the POD solution at all time steps. You just need to query the system at the given time you are interested in.
Yeah.
This is another big advantage compared to classical POD.
Yeah, this is a big advantage in particular because otherwise you are always restricted to use a time stepping scheme with the same time step. Exactly. So this is a complete advantage. I see this.
Yeah.
So thanks.
Thanks to you.
Okay. Bye. Okay. For the time, for interest of time, let's thank Andrew's talk and welcome the next speaker, Sebastian.
Thanks again.
Yeah. Great. Can you share yours?